Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm so excited. Today is the first day that I have my new backdrop. So if you've been watching this show for 6 months, you're going to see my excitement today is out the roof because I'm trying something new. Today, I'm going to go get me one of those ring lights, add it, brighten this up. But it's not going to stop us from having an amazing show today because I have not just one, two, or three amazing guests, but I have five amazing guests today. I was reading their bios. I was blown away, and I was like, I cannot wait for this show. But you know, I'm going to ask you to do what I ask you to do every day, 5 days a week, and that is to go out and be an evangelist, an activist, a supporter, someone who shares the show with their friends. And don't just do it timidly. I need you to shout it from the rooftop, send a carrier pigeon, whatever you have to do. Wake someone up and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. We are live right now. You have the opportunity to ask your questions, make your comments to our guests today, and they have given up their time and their energy to be here with you. So you better take advantage of it. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show, I'm going to do what you have me do, what you hired me to do. And that is to go ahead and introduce our first guest. I want to start with this gentleman. I know it's usually ladies first, and we have ladies here today. But there was a particular topic that he spoke about that I thought might be fun to start off the show with. I want to introduce Mr. Jeff Harry of Rediscover Your Play. And these days, that's one of the things that I've been working on is rediscovering the fun in life. He's an international speaker. All of the top companies hire him. You've seen him everywhere. And he spends most of his time talking to people about productivity and how we think we're important. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
You are so welcome. I want to talk about your tie.
Oh, okay. You want to know? So this is a Lego bow tie, as Beth mentioned. It is the colors of Sweden, but it's also a Golden State Warrior bow tie because I've been living in Oakland for the past 18 years. I'm now in Chicago right now. And I started wearing the tie as a joke when I would go to conferences because everyone had their fake facade pretending who they were. So I was like, well, why not? I wear a costume as well. So I'll throw this bow tie on. And what I found was it gave permission for other people to be nerdy, and it gave permission for more people to play. And I just had a better time like connecting with people. So I rock it all the time now.
Do you consider it a conversation starter?
I do, but more so it's for me, it's a good reminder of like, don't take yourself so seriously, Jeff, and just have fun today, you know? And then if it is, great. If it isn't, it doesn't really matter because I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel in this, especially now, you know, it's COVID, people are stressed, depressed, anxious, everything under the sun. Do you feel that it's important for people to find or rediscover their ability to play?
Yeah, I think the challenge is, I say this a lot, is we had such a fixation on 2020 of what we thought it was going to be. A lot of us thought this was going to be our year, right? Like, you know, I was going to get married. I was going to get this new job. I was going to start this business. I was going to run for city council and win, you know, like all these expectations.
I don't like that, Jeff. I don't like that. I didn't like that right there, Jeff. I might have to go over there to the next person.
You might still win. You might still win. But it was this idea that, adults get so fixated on results, and the amazing thing about play is you're able to let go of the results and kind of navigate the uncertainty. And that's what kids do really well. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually let go of those expectations for 2020 in order to play through all the chaos that is the reality that we are now. So that is what I help a lot of organizations, companies, and individuals to do, because they have to be able to let go in order to be fully present in the moment so they can be fully alive.
Have you ever seen the movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler?
No, maybe.
Okay, well, if not, you need to watch. It's one of my favorite movies. But it just reminds me, in this movie, they're trying to teach Adam Sandler how to control his anger. And so they set up all these scenarios where he might get mad in order to test out his ability to control his anger. And it's just so funny. And they have him sing this song. I think it's Oh So Pretty or whatever it is, to kind of remind himself not to be angry. So when I'm listening to you and you're talking about organizations trying to be more like children and play, I'm like, okay, what kind of experiments or lessons do the companies or organizations do in order to play?
Well, so I help a lot of companies deal with really hard challenges. So how do you deal with that toxic person at work through play? How do you deal with creating a more anti-racist workplace? How do you deal with office politic BS? How do you deal with your inner critic, that mean voice that's in your head? So we usually are addressing really hard challenges through play that they don't want to talk about, but they will once you make it all fun and glorious, right? And then from the individual standpoint, what's really interesting about what you said about the anger management piece is there are a lot of positive psychology brain tricks you can actually do to have a better day. Because usually what happens is when you watch the news, you're more likely, I think studies say that you're 20% less productive throughout the day because you're priming your mind to see everything in a negative light. Mm-hmm. But what you can do, and this is this was taught to me by my friend Desiree, if you ask yourself at the beginning of the day when you have something amazing happen, how can it get any better than this? You're actually priming your mind then to look for positive opportunities throughout the day. And then you can actually stack those positive opportunities, because a lot of times when we say we have a bad day, we're actually not having a bad day. We're having a bad moment. And thoughts usually last between 9 seconds and 90 seconds. So we're running that thought in our head 1,000 times over. So your ability to catch that, and instead of being like, let me look for more bad moments throughout the day, let me catch it and be like, how can it get any better than this? With gratitude and curiosity. And then all of a sudden you're able to reframe how you look at your day and have such a better day.
I like that. I'm gonna come back to you, Jeff, but I wanna go ahead and introduce our next guest. She's been here before. We enjoyed having her here. We learned a lot, we laughed a lot. It was a really great show. And she is a serial entrepreneur as well. So we're gonna talk a little bit about some of the things that Jeff had to say, but I'm gonna introduce Beth Miller. She's an author and her book is Are You Talent Obsessed? Good morning, Beth, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me back.
You are so welcome. Thank you for coming back. So I was listening to Jeff, and one of the things that he was talking about is the things that we get stuck in our mind, you know, and maybe those things aren't real. And if we shift the way we think about them, then we can have a better day. Like Jeff was saying, you work with people and your book is Are You Talent Obsessed? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my feeling is all leaders, should be talent obsessed. And that means that they should be really focused on helping and developing the people around them in order for them to move on, meaning the leader to move on. They need to have people behind them that can take their position in the future. And there are folks out there that have that mindset that needs to shift of, well, gosh, you know, if I delegate and empower these employees behind me, then what am I supposed to do? Entrepreneurs are great at that. they because they've created the business, they don't want to become replaceable. Mm-hmm. They often want to become irreplaceable, which really is a roadblock for them if they want to grow their business. They need to be able to let go and feel that when they do let go, that, you know, there will be mistakes, but those mistakes are mistakes that individuals are going to learn from and grow from. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of letting go of the control that a lot of small business owners I see have that challenge. And, you know, I love what Jeff said about kind of that controlling your thoughts. When I do executive coaching, I will often talk and explain to people that, you know, what are those things that you can control in your life? You can't control what other people do, But you can control what you do and what you think and what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, focus on those things that you can control versus those things that are out of your control, because then you're just going to worry. And worry is not productive at all. And the next thing is to understand what you can influence. There are situations and people that you can influence and maybe adjust, but again, you know, focus first on those things that you can control.
Now, Bev, one of the things that you talked about is that control aspect, especially in entrepreneurs. Now, when I look at the way I operate my business, I would have to ask the question, do you see that? But I also believe that psychologically, I may be doing that without realizing it, because for me, I consider it's because I'm a perfectionist, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to give this task or this assignment or this project to anyone else, because I am not confident that they will do it to my standards. I always joke, you know, my kids are 23 and 26 now, and I would always tell them to go clean their rooms, and they would finish and they come back. I finished, I cleaned my room. I said, okay, have you cleaned your room to my standards? You know, your standards is one thing, but I need it done to my standards. So do you see that as well with entrepreneurs?
Yes, a portion of them. And the question I always have for them is, you know, what do you see for your company? Where do you want to take this company forward? And is what you're doing now going to get you there? Are you going to be able to do all these things that you're currently doing and grow the business as well? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. As you bring on new employees, you need to let go of specific areas. And, you know, I have worked with a lot of perfectionists and you know, the challenge is, you know, what is that impact of being a perfectionist have on you personally and professionally? Mm-hmm. You know, is it really working for you?
Right. We have to figure that out and answer that question. I'm going to come back to you, Beth, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And it's all on the same topic, the same line as Beth and Jeff. Beth and Jeff, like, that's kind of just like a show, you know what I mean, that we need to make. I'm sorry. I told y'all squirrels. I see squirrels all the time. But I want to talk about destined for greatness. When you show people and help people and assist people to be their best selves. And that's exactly what Ms. Shantae Carter does with her company, Women of Integrity, Inc. Good morning, Shantae. How are you?
Good morning, Shreepa. How are you? Good morning, everyone.
I am fine. Thank you for joining us. So you were listening to Jeff and Beth. And yes. Tell me your thoughts.
I was nodding my head to Beth, because when you talked about control, I've had my nonprofit for this year, we celebrate 10 years.
And congratulations.
Thank you. So all about the control, you know, I was running everything, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, doing all these things. And I'm like, and feeling like, okay, if I let go, are they going to be able to manage it as well as I've been to get it to the point that where we are now? And I finally had to kind of take a step back and kind of assess who's around me, assess the members in our group to see who could facilitate and help me with that. And I have one young lady, you know, she actually does this, right? Like, when you really stop and pay attention, she does this. She's a social media blogger. So then I was like, you know what? Why don't you take over the media, social media for us? So now she's our social media manager. And I find that when you tap into people and tap into their talents, but also motivate them and empower them and pour into them, they're gonna flourish. So she took that role and made it her own. And I feel like has exceeded what I've ever done in the span of the organization, because she's really just brought our social media, especially on Instagram and Facebook, like really just to the forefront. And I think she's done an amazing job. And I feel like I'm so glad I was able to finally let go of that control, because before, you know, I would have been holding on like, I don't know, is she gonna be able to do it? Like how I want it to be done. You know, I still kind of approve things just to make sure, like, you know, this is going along with our brand and our mission. But for the most part, you know, she just posts and she does. So people sometimes think it's still me and I'm like, nope, it's all her. I don't even touch that anymore at this point. And so definitely I understand what you're saying about control, but I definitely do believe you have to kind of speak life into people and find out what their talents is, because everyone's destined for greatness. Everyone has the ability to be destined for greatness. We all have something about us that can make us great. You just have to find your passion and your purpose and then tap into that and then follow it.
Okay, definitely. So your book, you have a book and a journal, actually, Destined.
Yes, this is the book.
Ooh, love that. Greatness.
Thank you, thank you. And I also have the journal that accompanies it. And Destined for Greatness just became a bestseller on Amazon last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the journal as well. So they're both under Destined for Greatness. And it's been an amazing experience to become a first-time author and then to become a bestseller. Becoming an author, I think, has been able to open doors for people. For me, myself, I think will open doors for anyone if you decide to become an author. I've been able to have speaking engagements. I've been able to speak at my alma mater because of my book. I went to Binghamton University, so I went to, been able to speak there as an alumni of nursing, and be able to speak to the our future generation of nurses and talk about the book. And the book, it's I have co-authors, it's myself and 9 other nurses. And we talk a little bit about our nursing experience, but mostly about our entrepreneurial experience, our obstacles, some pitfalls that we may have faced along the way, and then how do we overcome them. And then we offer like our top 10 business tips. So it's for the inspiration, it's just inspire you, empower you, whether you're nursing or not, or whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or you're a new entrepreneur. I think it can bring value to anyone. Just to learn from different people and some of their takeaways. You know, I'm the only nonprofit, everybody else is for profit. So you kind of see the difference in the different businesses that they have in there. I mean, you have women owning long-term care facilities. Mm-hmm. They're owning nursing like CNA schools, LPN schools. So these women are doing amazing things. They're doing consultations, they're consulting. So everyone, once again, is have a path to greatness. They're all doing great things, and everyone can be destined for greatness.
Oh, you are amazing, Shante. That was wonderful. I want to ask you, though, I want to go back to the book and the journal. It's rare that there's a journal included with a book. So I'm going to assume, and that's an assumption, that there are writings, assignments, or different things that you do as a part of the book. What can people expect from the book and the journal?
So I'll be honest, the book came out first. And then later I decided, why don't I create a journal to kind of accompany the book? So, because actually the book came out in 2017, three years ago, just became a bestseller last year. I created the journal last year, which became bestseller, because I found that people are tending to now more write and express their feelings. And journaling is a way that people can do that. So in reading, I figured, why don't I create the journal? If they're reading the book, create the journal so they can take notes. Just things that, so once you write the vision and make it plain, you can start holding yourself accountable. So if you write it down, and in the journal, it'll tell you, like at the top, you are destined for greatness. I have quotes in there. My business tips are in there. And then you're writing down the things that you're trying to accomplish. I want you to use it to write down your goals. Use it to get yourself focused. Because sometimes it's just that we're like this, and we need to kind of just bring it here and focus on the one thing that we're good at, that we can succeed at, and then it can open up other doors. You know, nursing is my thing. I'm great at that. This entrepreneurial women's empowerment kind of came after, just from life experiences and wanting to help other people. So now that's something else that I've become kind of mastered. So those are my two big things. But definitely the journal is just for you to be able to write down your thoughts. Because sometimes if you can write out what you're feeling, get those emotions out, it can totally change your mindset and change your whole course of day. You know, you just kind of write it and then just leave it there, you know, and then move forward. A lot of it is changing your mindset. You have to change your mindset. And as small business owners, entrepreneurs, we have to change our mindset. Sometimes we're just looking at the bigger picture. But the first thing I would say is that you have to find, what are you passionate about? Because your passion will lead you to your purpose. And then once you find that, you can walk in your purpose and accomplish the things that you're destined to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is someone who, like myself, tells other people you cannot make excuses. She's been through so much in her life, overcome so much, and she's sharing her story with the world. She's an author, and her book says, "Be the Hero, Rescue Yourself." This young lady suffered from dyslexia, drug addiction, so much more. Let me introduce Miss Kelly Foeman. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me. It's been a great morning listening to Beth and Jeff. And oh my gosh, I just a nurse, congratulations. That's years of work, and then being an entrepreneur. And you guys are so right about leadership. And just building on it. But yeah, Be the Hero and Rescue Yourself is my new book. It was out August 4th.
Congratulations.
So I'm really excited about that. So baby, brand new author and all the things that go along with it. But I grew up in Beaumont, Texas. If you know where that is, it's about 90 miles east of Houston. And I was a small town and struggled in school a lot, and was told by a counselor in high school that I wouldn't make it to college. I shouldn't even apply. There's no point. And I had one admissions counselor that kind of took a chance, and I was able to get into college at Lamar University there locally, and ended up graduating with my bachelor's degree in communications, and then moved here to Dallas-Fort Worth area, worked for a university, and was able to get my MBA as well. And
you go, girl. You did not take that advice, no matter who said it. You just kept going. Exactly. You go.
I'm stubborn. I'm so stubborn, which sounds like a lot of you ladies and Jeff are stubborn to make sure that you push through. I think that stubbornness, along with some great parents, mom and dad, were just there for me. And it was a struggle, but we did it, and we did it together. And mom says her proudest day was when I graduated with my MBA on Christmas in 2010. So it was really good. But there's, you know, some struggles that go along with it, you know, self-esteem, being dyslexic and being called stupid all your life and being held back in the second grade and getting addicted to drugs and trying to move past that because you're involved with the wrong crowd. And, you know, you make sure that you make the right choices and the right path. And that has led me to a great career. You know, my last most magical career is with the Disney Institute, teaching leaders how to lead and guide their folks so they can have better employee engagement, better guest experience. And I will tell you, the biggest pitfall of a lot of entrepreneurs, Beth, is they don't set up their culture at the very beginning. It's because they're so in the business and they've got their hands in so much in their hat. You know, they're wearing the social media hat and they're wearing the, you know, business development hat and they're wearing all these hats. They haven't sat down and truly set up, here's my culture, here's the kind of organization we are. Because once you set up that culture, it allows you to find those nuggets to help you build your business because they fit within your organization, within your mission, within your vision, and find out the purpose of the organization. So you guys are right. And then, you know, a little bit of play is always fun too, because you gotta so Jeff, I wanna ask you a question because this was in my head. Sorry, I'm squirrel too. So when you've got leaders that are nailed with revenue, goals, you know, you have to meet these goals. How do you help companies and organizations work through that? Because what you lead with is what people are going to think about all the time. So how do you help them do that? Sorry, I'm just like, I'm curious, you know, because I love the
time. I love it.
So I don't deny that they have to focus on their quarterly results, right? Because that's just a reality. You have to, you know, have to figure out how you're going to make, you know, your bread to cover your costs. I just ask them, how do you want to get there? Like, it kind of ties in with what Shantae and Beth were saying, is like, are you utilizing the talents of your staff in the way in which they can fall into flow? Because a lot of companies don't like talking about play, but they love talking about flow and having them maximize their talent. So I'm like, how are you doing that? Because if you're just constantly telling your employees, we have to hit these numbers, and you're creating such a stressful environment, they're not going to figure out the most creative way to get there. They're just going to do what you have to say. And then that disappoints that might prevent you from actually getting the numbers that you actually want. So I'm more about focusing on, let's stay present in the process and figure the best way and most enjoyable way to get to those results.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I love talking to leaders like Shantae and learning, you know, how she built a nonprofit organization from just being a nurse. I love watching folks go from one career and then kind of changing it and going into a different career. It's so interesting. I appreciate you guys so much having me on, but the book is out on Amazon. And I also have a podcast as well, started it about a year ago. So it's called Be the Hero and Rescue Yourself. I even have one little coffee mug. So,
oh, I like it.
It's time to put on your cape, y'all. And I'm from Texas, so we'll say y'all a lot. But
I heard it quite a few times. I heard it when you came in. I heard the y'all. I didn't comment, but I did notice it. There's so much that I want to say right now, but Lizette has been so patient. Let me introduce her, bring her into the conversation, and then we will go from here. One of the things I really love and enjoy about this show, and you ever have something that's better than you could ever imagine? This show actually is, because I said I never knew how I could take five random people, basically put them in a room together and figure out what to talk about. But I've learned in 6 months, five shows a week, five guests a day, no matter what, there's always a theme. And I can see the theme running throughout this show. Even Lizette Zaunin, who's our next guest, she also talks about helping people with their confidence. She is the host of hashtag Up Your Confidence podcast. She's also a breast cancer survivor, October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so we're going to talk to her about everything she does, including Z-Square for the Cure. Good morning, Lizette. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. And I'm so excited to be here. And I have been like listening and taking note literally about everything. But one thing that I want to correct is I am not a breast cancer survivor myself, but it's okay. My mom that is a breast cancer survivor. Okay. And I call myself a co-survivor because I walked the path with her just like so many women does. And I've been listening to Shantae talk about her nonprofit, and I can totally relate on all the level. I've been listening to Beth and Jeff. Yes, you need your own show. Totally. You know, I'm happy to have both of you on my podcast, you know, but you guys have been here and Kelly, I mean, you talk and Kelly, I think we need to meet because you in Dallas and I'm also in Dallas, Texas. So yeah. And I hear the y'all. I am not from Dallas. I'm not a Texan. I'm actually from West Africa, and that's really where my nonprofit does the daily work that we do of empowering, educating women on breast cancer. And I can go more in detail, but about 22 years ago, my mama got diagnosed with breast cancer in West Africa. And that was really a taboo subject or a taboo conversation to even have with her doctor or even me, my daughter. And I saw her fight through it and becoming a survivor. And fast forward about 10 years later, you know, I create my own nonprofit organization to just educate and empower women, rural women in four countries, Benin, Togo, Ghana, and Ivory Coast, all in West Africa, you know, and we do annual event, you know, forbid COVID this year, right? Everybody's trying to social distance, but we do a lot of education online, you know, we do information session. But to piggyback to everything you guys have been saying, you know, the talent, you know, being obsessed with people's talent, is this is something that I always scream loud and clear. You know, my career has been, you know, just like Shantae, I have been, you know, in software quality. So I'm a technical nerd. So Jeff, I can totally relate to your whole thing you got going on there, your whole tie and everything. You know, I deal with people like you every day, technical nerd. And when you talk about, you know, people being toxic. You know, that's something that I deal with all the time. And you don't realize that people are toxic until you know that it's impacting you. It's impacting actually your trauma, your personal mental health, that, okay, all this, because it's feel like you're battling people every day, trying to make your point across. And I always say, I found myself always being the only Black woman, you know, we can talk about it, right? Sharifa, being the only Black woman in the room and on a floor, especially being in the field that I am, and trying to focus and show your talent, you know, and be literally obsessed about what you believe in so that people can hear you, has been, you know, the thing that really my superpower, if I want to say that way, you know. But also to the point of leadership, and when you're running a nonprofit or even an organization as well, you have to let other people fly, you know. And there's a beauty in the fact that, and I was thinking about it the other way actually, because I was looking at somebody do a task that I asked them to do, but the way they did it, I thought it was so beautiful, you know, because when you're doing the task, it's not just about the task, but it's about how you do it, you know, and everybody sure. bring their unique perspective in every task that they do. So I was definitely listening and taking point on everything that you ladies and Jeff were talking about. So I can see
you took notes. Like, you checked off every box. Like, you passed your quiz with an A+. Thank you for tuning into the show today. I appreciate it. I want to go back to Kelly, because I wanted to bring Lizette into the conversation, but I did have a question for Kelly. And one of the reasons why I do this show and I love about this show is there's always a story. There's always a story behind the story. And so often people just want to tell the story. You be your own hero. And that makes me go, okay, what happened? What day? Who was it? Who did it? You know what I mean? Like, what was the motivation to where you go, no, you know what? I don't need that knight to come pick me up. I don't need him to come save me, because that's typically, you know, what it is. So what was the motivation, Kelly?
I was writing the book, and we had a title, and I don't know if you book writers had a title and didn't really like it much. So I set it aside and actually started writing the book. And I was like, the title will have to come out at some point. And as I was writing, and they're not chapters, there's lessons, because we all learn lessons in life. These are my lessons, or lessons that I've learned from who I consider my life heroes. And I started writing the book and working with my ghostwriter. And at the end of each chapter, I realized I've got tons of heroes in my life who've opened up doors, given me opportunity, helped me get clean. You know, those heroes that have been amazing, pivotal people in my world. But at the end of the day, even though they opened up the door or they opened up a path or an opportunity, it was up to me to do the work. It was up to me to put my cape on and rescue myself. And I was like, well, heck fire, let's talk about heroes, you know, be your own hero and rescue yourself. So creating that inner courage to wear your own cape. And in there, I'm pretty brutally honest. Sometimes that cape is wrinkled. Sometimes it has holes in it. Sometimes you lock it away in your closet and forget about it. And sometimes you just have to come out and, you know, like your mom, or get the iron out, you know, the ironing board, get some starch and then put it on and just do what you got to do. So that's really where the book came from, because with dyslexia, I had to make the choice. I had all the help. They didn't diagnose me till my senior year in high school. So I struggled all through school. And I had to make the choice to either go to college, put my head down, or I could go to college and party like a rock star with all my friends and get through college. Because my dad was a fireman in Beaumont, Texas. My mom was an aerobic instructor. Neither one of them had a college education. So they busted their rear ends to do whatever it took so I could have opportunities that they didn't have. So I utilized it. And then, you know, getting into drugs at the end of my college career, and then moving to Dallas, you know, big fish, little pond, and then little fish, big pond, and getting in with the wrong crowd and the wrong circle of folks, you kind of dive deep into that world, and it does become addicting. You know, I was the, you know, blonde hair, green eyed girl they give free drugs to. And it was a difficult situation. But at that same moment, no matter what kind of recovery you go through, the 12 steps or any other kind of spiritual recovery, it's all up to you to put the work in, to work every day, to move one day past your addiction. And I've been clean for over 17 years. So
congratulations.
Can I say something? I want to say, Kelly, I was listening to your story and I just really want to commend you, because beating a drug addiction, especially as a nurse, is so hard and people struggle with that all the time, and they may fall and they'll try to be clean and then they fall again. But to really understand that the change begins with you, and no matter the opportunities you were given, that you had to say, okay, Kelly wants to change. Kelly really wants to be clean. I really commend you, because that is very hard to do. I see it at the patients that come in, and you know, we can't fix them in that admission, is what I keep trying to tell people. People think we could just put a Band-Aid on it and fix them up and send them out. It doesn't work like that. You have to really put in the work. So I really want to commend you on that, because that's a really big deal to be able to beat a drug addiction and to be able to go on and find your strength, right? And you found your power out of that, and you wrote your story. So I really want to commend you on that.
And yeah, it's that forgiveness part. You forgive everyone else, but I think the worst or the hardest thing is to actually forgive yourself for what you've done. And so that guilt can spin you out in control and spin you back into that lifestyle, and really wreak havoc on you. And so you've got to find that inner power, Shantae, and you've got to, you know, help move past it. That day I asked God, when I decided that I was going to take my power back, I said, if you help me get clean, give me opportunity to give back. And so for the past 13 years, I've been working with the Denton County Sheriff's Department, their teen impact program with the First Offenders program.
Nice.
So I've been able to work with first offenders, and kiddos that this is kind of their last opportunity before they go into the system. We don't want them to go in the system. We want them to find ways to be able to find other opportunities and be able to find their power and find their passion and find their purpose, and be able to move past that. So unfortunately, because of COVID, we haven't been able to have a program since April. So I'm jonesing to see my kiddos. I'm jonesing to see, you know, my kids and my young ones. But I think now that things have moved a little bit further and schools have been doing really well here in Denton, everybody's staying healthy, we may start having a little bit smaller program more times than what we usually do. But yeah,
I think that's wonderful. Awesome. I think what you're doing is wonderful. Your spirit is wonderful. And I just wanted to go back a little bit to something you said about the cape. You said that, you know, you throw it in the closet, it gets wrinkled. But what I heard and saw in what you were saying is often what we do is we completely throw it away, right? We're like, I don't even want to be a superhero anymore. I don't want to do this. I'm over it. But then what you realize at some point, no matter what, you got to go dig that cape out the trash and put it on, because it's something that you had to do. Jeff, I see you over there. Talk to me. What's going through your head?
Okay. It's so interesting, going off the cape analogy, because it's all about showing up, right? Like, there's something that's really powerful about Shantae's story that I think of, because I think of when she wrote her book, and let me know if this is the case, Shantae, but when you wrote your book and then you went back to Binghamton, there are people that are now looking at you, and because you showed up fully, not just only as a nurse, but now an author, now an entrepreneur, now a nonprofit executive director, you're doing all the, like, you're taking all these leaps and being like, I'm gonna show up fully. There are people in the audience that are looking at you and being like, I need to get my cape too, right? Mm-hmm. There's something so powerful about that. And then the other part that I think I really resonated with, that both Beth and Shantae and Lizette mentioned, there's something about checking your ego and being like, even though this is my work, this is not about me. It's about something so much bigger than me. And I'm actually just channeling a bigger message. And it just happens to be visiting me. Elizabeth Gilbert says this a lot, that genius, no one's a genius, but genius does visit you, and you have a choice. You either can channel it or it goes to somebody else. And then if you get frustrated that someone else writes your book, it's because you didn't write it. Well, guess what? You know, Shantae, Kelly wrote their book. Beth wrote her book. Lizette's about to write her book. You're about to win city council. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's something powerful about being willing to show up fully, put on the cape, and how that bravery then gives everyone else an option to also show up fully. And that's really powerful.
Totally. And I really I really wanted to amplify what Jeff said, because that's one of the things that's one of the reasons why I create my podcast, Up Your Confidence, because I feel like we have to show up. And that has been my preferred word, you know, to a point where last year I had a baby and I was really down, you know, I was really going through like a milder, you know, postpartum depression. And one of the things that my friend told me was, you always show up, so do that. And I was like, whoa, you know, when somebody repeat the word that you used to share to them. So I totally agree with you, Jeff, that sometimes it's not easy to show up, but we show up, you know, we show up and we're not showing up for ourselves, you know. And I just read not too long ago that the best way to really show up is just to be present. And like you say, channel whatever in your authentic self, just give whatever is within you. And you never know who is listening. You never know who need that message, who need Shante message, who need Kelly message, you know. And I was gonna come back to Kelly to just say, I mean, I don't even know where to start with the whole journey, because I mean, just the word dyslexia, I don't even know how, because I feel like we're missing part of the story where we're going to get the book and figure it out, you know, and go read about it, you know. It's like, how did you go from that to then MBA and to even recovering? Because the recovering process for regular people that don't have any underlying illness is already difficult. But on top of that, with your non-dyslexia could have been just super difficult. And I can tell just by listening to you that you are a relentless person, you know. And that cape might be, you have it, you have to wear it proudly, and you have to make sure that people understand that, you know. And I'm so grateful that you're sharing your story, because everybody need to hear it. So
yes, totally. Absolutely.
One word to describe Kelly, and that's resilience.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of grit to get through all of those roadblocks that Kelly experienced in her life. Sure. But the other thing I heard from Kelly was she had a support system. You know, she wasn't alone. And as entrepreneurs, we're part of that support system for our employees. And the kind of that showing up is being the role model that you expect others to operate as. So often, when my husband and I first started our company, this was many years ago, it was just the two of us, and we started hiring employees. And all of a sudden, I realized that everything I said and did, employees were watching me. And I had to model those behaviors that I expected of others. And I never realized that until I had the company with my husband and we had employees. And it's a lot of entrepreneurs don't realize that. They don't realize that, hey, you're the boss, you know, you're the owner. People look up to you. You just think of it as, hey, I've created this organization. I'm bringing some people on to help grow the company, and they don't step back and realize that there's such an impact that they're making on their employees.
It's the same thing. I have a 13-year-old son. God help me, y'all pray. And new mama. But it's like, if I get into my car and I don't put on my seatbelt, but I expect my son to put on his seatbelt, it's modeling the behavior. So Beth, you are so right. It's the same thing as a leader in an organization. It's that kindness. It's that openness. It's that open door policy. It is, if you say that this is how things need to be done and this is how we need to treat our fellow employees, and you go and treat someone ugly or you talk bad about another leader within the organization, then that just completely negates everything. I mean, Lizette, look at you. I mean, you watched your mother go through breast cancer, and you watched her just be strong and be confident. And then here you are modeling the same behavior as your mother, trying to help other people. I mean, pink lipstick and everything. I mean, you showed up this morning.
She got her cape on.
If you're having a bad day, you need to put your hair on, your best makeup on, your best lashes, get your nails done, girl, and just go. Just show up. And you did look at you did.
Okay. Yes. So Kelly and Lizette gonna be hanging out in Dallas.
We are. Yes.
For sure, for sure.
Whatever y'all doing. I want to go back to something Beth said that was interesting to me when you started talking about the support system. It reminded me of a client I had that I did a website for. She referred me to her daughter, and I was speaking to her daughter, and her daughter said to me, "Oh yeah, my mom's my best friend." She said, "We talk all day, every day." She was like, "We don't talk about anything." And she was like, "We just gab all day about nothing." And I said, "You know what? It's not nothing. You're operating your business. Your mom is operating her business. And one of the most difficult aspects of being an entrepreneur for me when I first started out was that I was alone. I was by myself. And as an employee, you know, I tell the truth. I went to work just so I could go to lunch. Like, I went to work just so I could be like, girl, what happened over the weekend? What's going on with you? You know what I mean? And then when you're, y'all know it's true. Don't act like I'm the only one. Okay. But then you have that camaraderie. And as an entrepreneur, we don't have that. So Jim, are you okay over there? You know what I'm talking about though.
There are organizations and opportunities for that kind of support for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Entrepreneurs Organization, but that's one that provides, you know, a group support system where people are going through, you know, similar situations. And there are a lot of those kind of peer groups. I was a Vistage chair for many years, mm-hmm. and similar to EO. But, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, find other entrepreneurs that can support you, because guess what? If something that you're going through right now is probably something somebody else has gone through as well. Mm-hmm. And they can share their experiences with you. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead, Lizette.
I was going to mention mentorship, you know, because I've been in entrepreneurship for like 8 years, but I just last year created my own consulting firm. And here in Dallas, we have like the DEC. It's like a Dallas Entrepreneurship Center, and you get mentored. And to Beth's point, you know, whatever things that you think you're going through, somebody already went through it, you know. So we get mentored, you know, in a job easily, you know, we get mentored in college. So it's the same thing. You need a mentor, you know, as an entrepreneur. And it has been really helpful to me. Even just the fact that somebody can listen to you, you know, for you to just talk through what you're going through to somebody, and then there for them to say, "Have you considered this idea?" It usually just open your mind, because I mean, you already know what you need to do. You just stuck in front of this screen trying to figure it out. So it really helps. So I would definitely say, you know, look in your local community. I'm sure there's a group of entrepreneurs where you can find somebody that can mentor you. They don't have to be like $1 billion a business owner, but they just need to be a couple of steps ahead of you so they can help you, you know, along the way.
Excellent.
A question that comes up for me, and this is specifically for Shantae, is when you wrote your book and you went back to Binghamton as well as other places where you were keynote speaking, what was it like for the nurses when they came up to you and were like, "Oh my goodness, this is what I've needed. I've been looking for something like this for so long."
So I would tell you that was a very rewarding experience, because even though I run the nonprofit, I still work nursing full time. So when we talk about like showing up, like I always try to model that behavior for my members and for the youth group that we work with. We work with a local after school mentoring program. And like I try to teach the girls, like, you know, we're being of service, and people do things because they want to, not because they have to. I was like, so for me, coming here to be with you because I want to be here with you, right? Because for me, realistically, to come here after working, I'm probably getting like an hour or two of sleep, get up, and then I come to the mentoring program. But for me, that sacrifice is worth it, to spend the time with them, to enlighten them, maybe bring in guest speakers, talk about something new, and to know that they learned something and they received that. So now going back to Binghamton to speak to our future nurses, that was rewarding, because one, especially for the nurses, students of color, to see someone like me who's one graduated from the program, which is very tough, And then to be able to come back and be asked to speak as an alumni was a big deal. And then to know that I had a book, they were very like just inspired and was like, wow, like how do you do all these things? And a lot of them I've kept in contact with. You know, I told them, feel free to ask me any questions. Cause I mentor as well. And Lizette, that's a very important component of mentorship. I mentor as well, nursing students. I mentor young women. I just became a mentor for the American Nurses Association. So I believe in mentorship. People have mentored me along the way in business as well, who've given me a shot, or, you know, taught me about bylaws, what it was to create your bylaws. Because becoming an entrepreneur was something out of necessity for me. It was something I needed because just based on life experience and going through a depression and spiraling downward. So creating a nonprofit literally saved my life. And I tell people that all the time. It saved my life literally. And it's made me a better person. It made me much stronger. And so being a nonprofit world was new to me. I've literally learned everything as I went along the way. And then I've gotten guidance from people and who decided they'll be my mentor and show me the way. And each step of the way, I've been appreciative. And I think you have to appreciate those people and also let them know. I think everyone likes to be acknowledged. So even if it's, you know, even if it's the smallest thing, like they gave me a space to rent, I'm going to shout them out and say, thank you. Thank you, Jeff, from in the beginning for giving me your space to rent so we could hold our first meetings so that our ideas can be created and look where we are now. I think you have to kind of reach back and pull the next person up. I'm a firm believer in that and really model the behavior that you want to see. So be able to speak at my alma mater at Binghamton University and to represent the School of Nursing and be a nurse of color, trust was a very big deal. Big deal to me and a big deal to those nursing, especially those nursing students of color. And just in general, the nursing students, but for them to see someone that looks like them, to know that it is possible to achieve their goal of becoming a nurse, because nursing is one of the toughest degrees to get. It's very hard. So for them to be able to see that and they can relate, and especially, you know, it was very rewarding experience for me. They're having homecoming this year. So I'll be speaking for my third year virtually at their alumni.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. We got about 8 minutes left of the show. No. Because the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to wrap the show up in a minute, but I wanted to get in a quick question from you, Shante, and I want to make sure you had a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds to answer it before I actually wrap the show. But Kelly's a new author. She said that so humbly when she was speaking. Do you have any advice for someone who was just starting out and just published their book?
So self-promotion, Kelly, is the best promotion. So I tell people that all the time. No matter where I go, literally, my books are in my car. My girlfriend, she's a 10-time best-selling author, and she tells people all the time, Shante hustled these books. Hustle meaning like I would have them everywhere in me, family functions, at work, and I'd be like, because people, they know you and who you are. And if you have integrity, I feel they're going to support you. So my coworkers supported because they know my work ethic and they knew the person that I was. So I would go out there. I just take a limb or go to events and ask them, especially at speaking events. Can I sell my book there? Can I have my book? If I can't sell it, can I at least have it present? Mm-hmm. And then I can tell them where they can get it. Right. So another chance, and I'm posting with it, right? You know, I got my post ready. I got t-shirts that say destined for greatness, you know, and it's really promote. And you gotta look within your network. I've expanded my network, you know, so I have my sorority sisters, my nursing colleagues, my family, my friends, and I go and ask them, you know, help a sister out, get a book.
I love it.
Give it to someone else. You know, and then you can work with people. I can definitely connect you with my best friend. Like I said, she's a visionary strategist. She helps make bestsellers. She helped make my journal a bestseller. I can definitely connect you with her because she does amazing work. And let's go, Kelly. Let's get this bestseller. Let's get it popping.
Come back. We got to see Kelly become a bestseller.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Thank you for that. Look at Beth. Beth's like, look, don't leave me out of the party.
Come on, Beth. You gotta do it.
You gotta put it up there.
Create your author page on Amazon. Create the author's page if you haven't. Create it, update it. You know, get a website just for your book.
Make it happen. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. And just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jeff.
Ooh, I think I'm going to do it this way. If you've forgotten who you are, or you're struggling right now, or you feel stuck, one tip that I give a lot of my clients is I have them call their closest friends, and if maybe their closest friends are their colleagues, and I have them ask two questions. What value do I bring to your life? Like, why are we friends? What do I do for you? Because a lot of times you don't know what impact you have on people's lives. And then the second question I always ask is, when have you seen me most alive? When have you seen me most playful, most like excited about life? And hearing those two answers not only gives you so much love and appreciation for yourself, but then you can actually follow that curiosity of like, oh, that was the last time I was so excited, so playful, so alive. And if you simply follow that curiosity, it will fulfill you in ways that you never thought possible.
Okay, what was the second question? I was taking notes and I'm not good at notes. What was the second question?
The second question is, when have you seen me most fully alive?
Or can, can I post these questions on social media?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was taking notes. Sorry about that. Lizette, what do you have for us?
I'm so excited to be here. And my only message and most important message would just be, we are in October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and breast cancer impacts 1 out of 8 women. And every 74 second, a woman will be diagnosed sadly with breast cancer. And although we are in the middle of a pandemic, there's more risk of having breast cancer than having COVID-19. So I'm gonna urge all the women to see the doctor if you're over 40 to go get a mammogram, because early detection saves life. And you can go to our website, zsquareforthecure.org, or follow us on Facebook, IG, where we share daily message on how you can get yourself prevented. And if you're so kind, you can also donate to the great cause that we have. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Beth. Beth, you're on mute.
I want to follow up on Jeff's idea of the kind of gain the feedback from people around you. One of the things that I recommend leaders and entrepreneurs to do is to get feedback from their employees. Too often, leaders are focused on giving feedback and not receiving feedback. And you can learn a lot about yourself as a leader and get ideas on how you can change by being curious and open and asking questions of your employees. And then most importantly, once you get that information, do something with it.
I love it. Thank you, Beth. Shantae, what do you have for us?
I would just say, so yesterday was my birthday. So my theme—
Oh, happy belated.
Thank you. The theme that I've been running with, because 2020 has been a tough year for everyone. I'm a COVID survivor. I recently lost my grandmother. I just lost one of my good friends to COVID. First time I've actually physically lost someone to COVID. Life is short. And with this month being my birthday, the theme I wanted to impart was, we need to fall in love with life. So kind of like a cheers to life. You only get one, and I think you need to make the most of it. You need to make your presence known. You need to, own the rooms when you walk into them. People need to feel your presence. You need to be intentional and strategic in anything that you do. And you also want to be powerful and purposeful. So if that's anything that I would impart is, to fall in love with life again. Learn to kind of love your life again. Love the ones that are around you and take the time to spend with them. But also remember, COVID is still real and it's a pandemic. So I need you to wash your hands. Wear your mask, despite what other people may say. Wear your mask because it does work. It does save lives. And wash your hands. And just really change your mindset. Stay healthy. Boost up your immune system. And just stay blessed.
Yes. Thank you. Kelly.
Thank you, Mama Shantae. I will.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Always, I always tell people, because I am a competitive bodybuilder too, and I tell folks all the time, you are stronger than you think, because sometimes that last lift or that last rep, you feel like you just can't do it. And it's the same thing that happens in life. You feel like you're just not strong enough, and you actually are. You are stronger than you think. So keep pushing, keep moving forward. And then something that I always like to leave everybody with, that I've left all of my teams with every time I would leave every day, is y'all be sweet. Either that is be sweet to yourself or be sweet to someone else, because we all kind of need it right now, because we're all going through a lot. So that's it. Y'all be sweet.
Yes. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important and that we don't still need your support. So please go ahead and share this show, whether you're watching it live, whether you're watching it 2 days from now, 5 days from now, or 15 weeks from now. It doesn't matter. The information is still relevant, and I love to share all of the guests' inspiring stories. So go ahead and support our guests, pick up a copy of their book, ask them questions, visit their website, send them a message. And when you reach out to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, maybe you want to pick up your tickets to tomorrow's 2-day Power by Purpose Empowerment teleconference that we're holding, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. Whichever one it is, visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow at the same time, same place, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.